step down in the darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made my heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I've loved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to trust beneath the cliff. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you. When I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior. when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy my heart shall have. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
I'm lost without you. Praise the Lord. You can clap your hands and praise the Lord at the end of worship. That's fine. We'll allow it. Pray everyone's had a good week. I thank everyone for the prayers for my eye surgery I had on Wednesday. The doctor said on Friday, everything looks good. So I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And I can tell a difference, a slight difference already. He said as it heals, it's going to be more and more. Amen. So very grateful to that, and very grateful for the praise reports this morning, and honoring those that we're praying for as well. Just many, many in need of God's touch. Amen. Let's keep praying. It is the job of the church to keep before the Lord the prayers. Amen. For those in need. Let me find my place, and then I'll tell y'all where to go. Amen. Psalms 107. It's right after Psalms 106, if you were wondering. Amen. Glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Been really just seeking the Lord this week. I didn't have so much time to study, with my eye being the way that it was, of simply just sitting down and looking over the Word. But the Lord has put this in my heart, and I really have been meditating on this Word in my heart. And this morning I got to get up early and put some scriptures together that I really felt the Lord leading me to. How many of you know that God is wanting to be found? Amen? That God not only can be found, but he wants to be found. And how many of you know that there is a supernatural draw in our lives? We were born with it. You know, the Word of God says that God created man in his image. It says that he knew us before the foundations of the earth, which means that in the foundation of the earth, in the creation of earth, God made it with you in mind. He knew before the earth was formed what we would need and how we would need and when we would need. And so in forming the earth, he had us in mind to do that. That's why everything we have in the earth is sufficient for us. We need nothing. The complexity of it all is beyond me, and I think all of us can admit that. We're no Neil deGrasse Tyson where we can understand all the things, but you just know that God has formed the earth. And God has formed us. And in that creation, God hides things in us. How many of you know that? God hides a longing in us. And I don't know how else to describe it other than this. When I was lost, before I had known Christ, I had believed on him. There was a desire in me that I did not have an answer for. Does that make sense? I wanted something, but I didn't know what that something was. And in my life, I pursued things. I pursued money. I pursued fame. I pursued productivity. I pursued love. I pursued relationships. I pursued things looking for a satisfaction in me that I'd found emptiness in. And even in all those things that I had pursued, in my obtaining of some of those things, how many can agree with me? You've obtained some things in your life, and when you got there, you found yourself just as empty when you got it as when you were searching for it. And so that's, I'm trying to describe to you what I mean by what I'm saying. But there, that is God-given. That is a God-given supernatural thing that he has placed in us, in his creation. And the only thing that can satisfy that want or that need is himself. It is a God-sized hole that nothing else can fill. It is only him that can fill that place. And so I want to present to you this morning this thought. I titled this message, "Oh to See the Wonders of the Deep." Oh to see the wonders of the deep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that if I won a raffle or if I won the lottery, I don't want them to take taxes out of it. Anybody feel that way? You scratch off $1 million ticket and you only get $550,000 off of it, you're not satisfied, are you? Lot's missing there. I want all of it. And with God's promise, I look at things no differently. I don't want a portion of what God has offered me. Amen? I want all of it. If it can be mine, then I want it. And I want to just present to you today that there are wonders in God. Supernatural, magnificent wonders in God that are obtainable by men. And all it takes for men, and when I say men, I mean mankind. All it takes for mankind is simply to submit themselves to God and be obedient to the things in which God says and to go where God says to go. Because in that submission and in that obedience, how many of you know God will never lead you to a place of disappointment? If God created the earth to be satisfactory to what he had already had in mind about mankind, how much more is God willing to in tune, fine tune, in depth, make our lives and his promises sufficient for everything that we need? How much more? The world was formed to be a creation that satisfied us. Not in its totality, because we can't be satisfied without God. But I just want to paint a picture for you this morning of the love and the grace of God, the God of all creation, the God of the universe, the God who is the Father of Christ, who sent his Son to die for us, that we not lack anything, body, soul, or spirit. That's who our God is. Now, that's not saying we don't go through things, because we do. But how many of you know that when you go into anybody go into ocean fishing? I'm not really a fan of fishing in the ocean personally. I don't like going so far out I can't see where to swim. But there's one thing worse than going out fishing, that's coming back empty. Amen? Nobody likes to be skunked. Not one of us. You pay the gas, you pay for bait, and you go out on an adventure. You don't know if the fish are going to bite. But you know you're going out there to put your lines in the water to hopefully bring in a catch. But how many of you been out there on that water? All the forecast has been clear and 1 to 2 waves, but a storm rises up. You ever had that happen? We're not in control of that. Amen? But I can tell you, God is in control. And even when the storms of life come out and it feels like we've come out here to be satisfied and fulfilled, and the storms of life come up, God is in the midst of that storm with us to make sure that we don't perish along the way. He doesn't want us to come home empty, and he wants us to come home. Amen? That is the desire of God. So I want to see the wonders of the deep. Amen. Psalms 107, starting in verse 23, we're going to read to verse 31. Are you ready? I'll take a drink because I don't know when I'll stop. It says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wits' end. And then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalms 42, starting in verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Listen to this verse. For deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All of your waves and your billows have gone over me. I want to take a moment in this Psalm 42 to really point something out, that the beginning of the psalm says, my soul longs for you as a deer panteth for the stream. Anybody ever been thirsty in here? I mean real thirsty. I mean, if I don't get a drink of water, I might die. Amen. That was how football practice was when I was a kid. You just think, if I don't get just a sip of water. You know, I remember as a kid, there was a water fountain at the park that we played football at. And you're just as thirsty as you could die. And you get to that water fountain, and it's finally your turn, and it just barely trickles over the lip. You ever seen that? You ever been so thirsty and just can't get enough of it? Folks, I would like to say in that example, God is like that in some ways to people. Not that God is withholding himself of being thirsty, but sometimes all people's desire does not meet with their need. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Your desire doesn't always meet with your need. See, I need to be filled. I need water to survive. But sometimes my desire is not for the Lord, the way that David paints that picture. Sometimes my heart is not to have all that God has for me. It's somewhat sturdy, well-built, only allowing some in. And that's a terrible thing, to be thirsty and to only have just a little bit. Because here's the reality. Our souls are drawn to God, whether you believe it or not. What you're searching for really is the Lord, whether you believe it or not. You might think money can heal it. You might think time can fix it. But none of those things are going to satisfy your soul, because you're going to find at the end of all things, money can't buy it and time can't heal it. It won't do it. You'll find yourself miserable. I'm only 31. I'm only 31. But in this moment in my life, as my children are getting older, I'm recognizing that I've missed out on time. I've missed out on opportunity. I missed out in places in my life where I probably could have made something of myself. And there is a form of regret in me that maybe if I tried harder, or I did more, or maybe if I was more disciplined in these areas, maybe I'd be better off than I was. But then there's a soberness in me. What would that have accomplished? Where would that really have led me? Would I really be more fulfilled now if I would have taken that path and done something else? And I'll give you the quick answer. I don't know. Are you all right with having a preacher that don't know some things? I don't know. I came into this walk with God late. I wish that I would have said those prayers and followed in obedience when I was a child, when it was presented to me, but I didn't. I lived some life. I did some things, chasing after a fulfillment that maybe I had the answer, but I didn't have the capacity to understand. But in its end, I found the Lord. And when I found him, my soul was satisfied. How many of you know that you don't just stumble upon the Lord? You know that? The scripture says, no one comes to the Father except through the Son. That's the only way. And I love Psalms 42, especially verse 7. It's one of my favorite verses. It says that deep calls unto deep. What does that mean? Well, the psalmist David wrote this. He said, I was born into sin and shaped into iniquity. Basically, what he's saying is, I was born into darkness. I was a creature of darkness because of what my heritage is, what my past is, who Adam and Eve were in the fall of the garden. All of us are a portion of that when we're born into the world. We're a depth of darkness. Let's just say it like that. You come into the world and you're lost. You're in darkness, you're in sin, in iniquity. But I would present to you that there is another side other than darkness, and that's light. And there is a depth of light. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't matter how great the depth of darkness there is in any person. We all know some terrible people, don't we? Pretty depth of darkness, gross darkness. Doesn't matter, because there is a depth of light that's greater than any depth of darkness. And just like the psalm says, it says, when deep calls unto deep, that sounds like when God called my heart out of darkness. When all of a sudden, Even when I wasn't looking for God, a light shone on me, revealed God to me, revealed His nature, revealed His love, revealed His grace in a way that overcame the darkness that was in me, the sin that was in me, the shame that was in me. It overcame it. Some are afraid of the light. It's like roaches. You ever seen roaches when you turn the lights on? They scatter. They don't want to be exposed. But this is a different kind of light. This light, when it exposes, it's not exposing you to make fun of your shame, to bring your shame into the light that it may bring condemnation and judgment. It's to expose it that it might heal it. Isn't that wonderful? That God is not sitting up there waiting to come down with the gavel on your sin and just waiting to judge you and condemn you. That's not God's heart. His heart's mercy. That light is gross goodness, gross love, abundant, powerful, supernatural, and it has a voice. And it calls out to us in the depth of our darkness. Deep calls unto deep. And folks, I know that it has a sound because listen to what it says. You ready? Deep calls unto deep at the what?
Noise.
The noise of your waterfalls, which means that there is a voice, there is noise in God. And it is calling to what? And Brother Pedro said it so brilliantly. God is spirit. So we may not see Him physically, but there is a supernatural thing in us that hears the voice of God, that is drawn by the voice of God, that is longing for the things of God. It's in all of us. We were made with that in us. And there is a voice out there in God. It's His voice, and He's calling out to you, ever caring, ever wanting, ever leading you that you might be satisfied. Isn't that crazy? That God did not just drop you into some situation into this earth and go, I hope you find me. He put an internal GPS in each one of us, supernaturally, that when we were born into the earth, no matter what our circumstances were, no matter who your parents were, no matter geographically where you live, it does not matter if you're in the Horn of Africa or if you're in the beautiful America that we live in. Doesn't matter your circumstances or situation. Everyone is given by God this gift, this longing. And in God Himself, there is a longing. Isn't that wonderful? And those longings can only be satisfied with one another. Which means it's destined that our lives will continuously be drawn to God. God has never left you nor forsake you, the Word says. Now, just because He's never left you nor forsaken you doesn't mean that you've not left and that you've not forsaken. Because that's the other side of the coin. God is all good and God is love, right? But there's another side of the coin in that relationship. I can love my wife all that I want to, but if she don't want nothing to do with me, that'd be hard to have a relationship with. So there is the opposite side of that. And you go to the beginning of Psalms 42 and you hear what David is saying. God, I recognize that you have a longing for me, but I want you to recognize that I have a longing for you. And in that longing, I want to see the evidence. Anybody with me? I want to see the evidence. I want to see the truth because, like I told you last Sunday, there is no greater skeptic of the Word of God and the power of God and the reality of God than me, which says a lot about me, seeing how I'm standing here preaching a message to you. If I'm such a skeptic about if God is real or not, or His promises are real or not, why am I standing before you? Maybe it's only because that God has given me the evidence to prove to me that He is exactly who He says that He is. And I offer that to you this morning, that you can ask God. You can seek God with that desire in your heart. That's why I titled the message that I titled this morning, Oh, to See the Wonders of the Deep. Anybody want to see God be real? Is there a desire in anyone? Just maybe you don't know God this morning, and you've come this morning for whatever reason, and you say, I just want to know if He is. I've tried all the other things, and I just want to know. Can I tell you this morning that He'll show you? He'll show you. He'll reveal Himself. Maybe you've been following God all of your life and you're in a situation that you've never needed the faith that it's going to take to get you through this situation in your life. And can I tell you, you've come to the right place this morning, not because you're in Indian Town, not because you're in the Family Worship Center, but because you came to the presence of God. You said, I'm going to come and I'm going to declare to God that there is something in me that needs more. I need evidence. I need it to be revealed to me. I need a realization, God, that you are bigger than this. That there's a darkness in me. There's a darkness in this situation that is calling out. And if that gross light that you say that you are is real, would you bring light to it? Would you bring revelation to it? Would you bring healing to it? Would you bring power to it? Would you be God for me in this situation? Because I'm longing to see you. Anybody ever feel that way? I can't tell you how many conversations in the front yard in the middle of the night that I've had with God, shouting out to him, going, God, you brought me here. God, you are in control of all things. And I'm having a hard time trusting you right now, but I do believe you brought me here. And I need you to show up. Anybody ever feel that way? I need you to show up. And that's okay. Because God's made you that way. God's made you to long for him, because in him he has a longing for you. We are made in his image. You know, God longs for you. God longs for you. The Bible says that Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you know that? You know what that means? That everything you feel, he feels. Everything you go through, he goes through with you. Not as someone who from the outside understands, but someone who understands by what you're going through. He's chosen to make himself someone who understands pain, someone who understands sickness, someone who understands trouble, so that he may be closer to you than a brother. That's what the Word of God says. That is the nature of God. That is the grossness of light in this being. That he has made himself someone who longs to be with you as much as you long to be with him. Excuse me. It says those and only those. See how there's a prerequisite to this in Psalms 107? It says this. Verse 23. It says, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Folks, it is choice. The prerequisite of seeing the things of God is not on God. Hear what I'm saying. God wants to. Can we just say that as a congregation together? God wants to. He wants to. God has it. It's prepared for you. God has moved heaven and earth that it might be at your disposal. But what does the scripture say? It's the pre-contents of it. It says, those who go down to the ships. It's not those that are on the shore. You hear what I'm saying? God, I need this from you. I want this from you. I'm desiring this truth from you. And God is saying, if you're wanting this from me, I'm going to tell you where it's at. And if you meet me here, I'm going to draw you. You're going to draw me. This is where it is. Folks, at some point in our life of faith, we're going to have to step off of the dock as believers. We're going to have to step out in faith on the word of God and say, God, because you said it, I believe it. And because I believe it, I'm going to, by faith, step out into this place. Even though I don't see the direction, even though I may not know the chart or the placement of what you've charted out for me, I'm believing and trusting that when I get out there, I'm going to see the things you promised me I would see. That's my heart, God. And I'm trusting you fully. I'm trusting you with my life. And what does it say? It says, only those who go down to the sea in ships to do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that God says, it's here for you. Come and get it. Folks, for any man, woman, or child that says they're hungry but denies their seat at the table to eat, It is not the person who's prepared the table that's at fault. It is the person that says, no, I just won't pull up my chair. We understand that this morning. Amen. Do we understand in this day, in this age, that God is coming soon? The second coming of Christ is upon us. In its reality, it says, be aware of the times and the seasons. And if we believe this Bible, we don't know when that's going to be. It could be in the next 5 minutes. It could be in the next 5 years. It could be in the next 50 years. But are you ready? Are you ready? Are you still on the shore with God? Folks, if you never see the rapture, but you see a car accident, or you see cancer, or you see something that shortens your life in any way, are you on the shore? Is there faith? Because God says this one thing about what he's looking for when he comes back to the earth. Anybody know what it is? Faith. I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for it. Not someone that stands on the shore and says, I'm content with hearing the troubled waters. I'm content with just simply seeing from a distance the waters move. That's not faith. Faith is I am not willing to be in any place, God, but the place that you've asked me to be, the place that you've called me to be, the place that you've drawn me to be. I will not be content and I will not be satisfied until the things that you've spoken over my life are evidence to me and those around me. I will not be content on the dock watching the boat sail away to the promise that you had for me and me not receiving. I won't be content. Anybody feel that way this morning? Maybe it's just me. I would consider myself a selfish Christian. I want all of it. I don't want you to take taxes off my ticket. I want it all. That's a reality. So I'm not going to be content on the shore hearing the waves, seeing from a distance the promises. I'm not okay with that. Can you imagine 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel coming out of Egyptian bondage, to walk 40 years around the same mountain, receiving the same promise, manna falling from heaven, quail coming at the evening of the day, that they might be fed every day, their clothes never wearing out. For God to come to them and say, you are not going to go in. Of all that you've walked through, of all that you've done, you're not worthy of coming in. Not because you didn't do what you were doing. You did all the things. But your heart was hard towards me. Egypt lived in you. You never dispelled of Egypt in your heart. Can you imagine them watching everyone that was 20 years and younger cross the Jordan into the promise that was promised to everyone? Could you imagine it? Could you imagine seeing someone, your neighbor, your friend, your kids, your wife, could you imagine seeing them cross over to a promise that was promised to you as well? That'd break my heart to know that I could have obtained, but I didn't. And it's not the person that gave the promise's fault. It's those people never gave over to God. Every trip around the mountain, it was one more bitter voice, one more issue with God. God's going, I'm trying to give you everything. You're walking in the opposite direction. I drew you out of Egypt. That's the word that it used. I drew you out into the wilderness. I destroyed your enemies. I'm bringing you in to my promise, where all of your enemies will be dispelled in your future. And the people unanimously decided that they wanted someone else as their God. They decided. And they didn't get in while others did. Folks, I don't want that to be me. Either in heaven or on earth, I don't want it to be me. So I don't want to stand on the shoreline. Listen to this. I wrote this down this morning. Many are content at the sight or the sound of troubled waters, but the days of lackadaisical Christianity is coming to a close. God is drawing men into his presence to be changed into his image. Charles Spurgeon said this, "It will be a sad day for the church and the world when there is no distinction between the children of God and those of this world. If you be a Christian, and be a marked and distinct one." Folks, we walk in the world, but we're not of the world. And what separates us? It's that supernatural faith in us that knows there is something greater, that knows through our trial and our trouble there is an answer, that knows in our sickness that there is healing. And even if this world fails us, it's going to fail everyone. And it's going to be cast away, but there is an eternity for us. There is a hope beyond this. Folks, it's like those 20 and younger. They didn't know necessarily what was ahead of them to come, but they believed on God that what was ahead of them was better than what was behind them. And they trusted God with it. God, I look and I hear the voices. You remember what happened when the spies came back? 10 of them said, there's giants. There's enemies that'll utterly destroy us. And maybe you feel that way this morning. I don't feel much different than the world today. Everyone's saying the same thing. It's just disaster in front of us. And I don't know that I've got the faith to go forward. You know what? Maybe I don't either. But I've got enough faith to say, even if I don't know, I trust God with whatever's to come. Even if it's total destruction. Even if it's total annihilation. Because at the end of the day, what happens if I die? I'm going to heaven, baby. Hallelujah. I'm going on to be with the Lord. You can have this rotten old world. If I don't make it till tomorrow, I promise you, I'm going to be somewhere that God's promised me that there will be no tear, no sorrow, no pain. So what is my fear that is hindering me from going forward with God, seeing the things of God? Nothing. Those two spies said, those things are there and this is true. But God said it would be ours. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the hope the Christian has that the world does not. We both see the same picture for our future, but this is the difference. The believer stands up and says, but my God said, despite all that's in front of us, it's going to be ours because it's already his. My future's in his hands. See, the lost person, the future isn't in God's hands for them. It's in their own. And in their own hands, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be detriment. But what did they do? They went on. And they saw the wonders of God in a place where others couldn't. Isn't that amazing? Folks, I don't know where we are today, individually. But I can tell you this. We're all in the same place spiritually. All of us. All of us just human beings. Fleshly creatures wanting to know what God has for us. In this moment and in our future. That's all I want to know. Culturally different. Our skin colors may be different. Our languages may be different. But all of us want to know what's ahead. Are we going to be okay? Is what has happened going to hinder me from obtaining what God has said I'm going to obtain? Folks, these are thoughts that roll through my mind all the time. What about my children? What life are they going to have? Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? You know what God always speaks back to me when I talk about my children? What are you doing? And what are they seeing you do? What are they seeing you do? Because they're looking. They're going to see how you made it through. How did you walk through this? Folks, one day I'm going to be dead and gone. And it may be sooner than later. But I want my children to remember what I was doing when I was here. What did Dad do when this went on? He prayed. He sought God. He trusted God. And God always answered. Folks, I've gotten answers from God that I didn't like. But he always answered. He always brought me through. That's the truth. Folks, this morning, we can't be a Christian body on the shore. We can't stand and just expect God to do his works and his wonders in his church in his people when his people are absent. We can't do that. In this day and age, I am not saying this in any negative way when I say what I'm going to say. But folks, as many people are here on a Sunday morning, there should be just as many on a Wednesday night on our prayer meeting, believing God for our future. Believing God, faith, for whatever God has for us. For these empty seats to be filled. Not so that we can pad our pockets. We don't need money. We don't need that. We need souls to come into the kingdom of God, to be ripped out of the fire. We need people praying for their family, believing that the same drawing that God drew me with, he's drawing them with. And praying that they receive an answer the same way that we received an answer that drew our heart to God, that made us new in God. Folks, the reason that people don't want to be Christians today is because Christians ain't good Christians. They're not. There is no distinguishable mark between a lost person and someone that says they go to church and says that they're a Christian. There is no distinguishable difference. Well, what's the difference in a Christian and someone who's worldly? God. God is the difference. His ability to change us, to lead us, to speak to us, for us to be humbled and walk in his will. Well, why didn't you take that promotion? Why didn't you go down this direction? Why didn't you go and do this way? Because God told me not to. Everyone else would have done it. I know everyone else would have done it. But that's why I couldn't, because God said no. They go, that's going to lead you into some turmoil, brother. That's going to lead you into a place that you're not wanting to go. We'll see. We'll see. Because God led me there. And folks, when God brings you there and then brings you through it or brings you over it or around it and he glorifies himself and he makes something of you as a vessel of glory that other people just go, oh my God, we would have never done that. How did this happen? You go, it's because of God. And they go, what do I have to do to know him? What do I have to do to know him? Folks, it's for his glory. I don't go down to the ships and do business in great waters because I like it. I don't. You think I like standing up here preaching every Sunday? I despise public speaking. I'm scared to death to talk to anyone. Folks, it looks like I got in a bar fight last night. My eyes all black and swollen. I'm insecure all over. I'm just thinking people just staring at my eye the whole time. There's all kinds of insecure. I don't do this because I go, man, I just want to do that. I just want to go talk to people about Jesus. I'm scared to death to talk to people. I'm scared to death to be rejected. I'm scared to death to walk in faith for my children's sake. Do you know how much money I've walked away from that could have benefited my family? You know how hard that is to, by faith, do that? It's difficult when you're looking at your children and you're going, I could have provided something else for you, but we didn't because we trusted. Now, we've never wanted for nothing. But folks, I've said no to things despite it being hard because I trusted in the Lord, and thank God I did. Thank God I did. Thank God I pushed off from the dock. Thank God I pushed off from the shore, because while I was out in the midst of the sea, by faith, I've seen the wonders of God. Folks, I've seen miracles that people have never seen. I've seen lives change. I've seen bodies healed. I've seen addictions broken. Things I never would have seen had I not trusted in God. I'd have been too busy to see it. My voice would have been used elsewhere had I gone that way. Folks, God knows what he's doing. God knows where he's bringing you to, and he knows why you're being brought there. We question it, but God never questions it. He knows. He knows why you are, where you are, and why you're doing what you're doing. And when God does call us, we, especially now, that's what I want to emphasize, especially now, we have to be tender to the Spirit of God and what he wants for us. What he wants for us as a church in this community. Folks, I don't know if you know this, there's a development coming. A lot of people coming into this town. We're going to need to be led by the Spirit, aren't we? In order how to walk in the midst of all this new company. That's what God wants for us. He's not bringing them here because he don't trust us as a church. He's bringing them here because he does trust us as a church. Because we're going to humble ourselves and go, God, you tell us how we can serve these new people. How if they don't know Jesus, how they can. How you can be glorified in all of this. There's a work to be done. There is a work that we can be obedient to and walk in that we're going to see the wonders of God. Those things that you want to see, I mean, how many people are lame that are coming in? I don't mean like uncool lame. I mean like they can't walk. That was a bad joke at the wrong time. I'm very sorry. How many people are going to need healing? How many people are going to need to be delivered? I'm sure there's going to be plenty. How many people are going to be saved? I'm sure there's going to be plenty. But folks, only those that go down in their ships to do business on great waters, only those see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep. It's not tagging our seat on Sunday morning, and that's all that we do. We must be devoted to God. Amen. Devoted to him, whatever he wants for us. And if you don't know God this morning, because I can't never tell who does and who doesn't. I leave that up to the Lord. But if you don't know God this morning and you're being drawn by God, let him bring you. Let him bring you. Let him draw you. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Folks, every decision that I've made to let God have his way in my life, I've never regretted it. I don't regret a single thing that God's done in my life that's led me right here with you this morning. I've had a lot of opportunities to be a lot of different places, but God has led me here, and I don't regret it. And I'm sure there's plenty of testimonies in this room this morning where God has told you to do something and you followed him. And there's testimonies that only you could tell about the wonders of God that he worked, the works of God that he did. Folks, that's as precious as gold in a day like today, in a time like we are in. Folks, in conclusion, Acts chapter 27, verse 39, it says this: when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made their shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves, and the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to the land. Now, you may remember this, the shipwreck of Paul. They have been days at the mercy of a storm in the sea. And they, in their ability, let down anchors in order to save themselves. See, and this is what we as the church can't do right now. We as the church can't tie ourselves off to what we're comfortable with. Tradition, religion, factions. If we try to anchor ourselves up to those things, we're not free to be led by God in the way that he wants us to go. Because when God wants us to go in a direction, the anchor of religion is going to hold us here in this spot. The anchor of tradition is going to try to hold us in this spot. So what do we do? What did Paul say? He said, turn us over to the sea. Cut us free. And let God take us where he wants us to go. It said, when daylight came, they saw a shore that they did not recognize. Folks, I don't know about you, but we're going to look up one day and we're going to see a shore that we don't recognize, and it's going to be heaven. We're adrift right now in the seas of life, the wild winds and the craziness of it. And all of us are doing our best. Some of us are throwing lifeboats in. You're just doing your best, trying to survive. But in the words of Paul, stay on the boat. cut the ropes, and let God have his way in us. Let God take us where he wants us to go. Because it said that ship, when it was turned free, it ran into a coral reef and it broke apart. But where did everyone arrive? Exactly where God wanted them to. They washed up on the beach. Folks, one day we're just going to arrive at heaven, not know how we got there other than God. He did it. I don't want to be tangled up with anchors, with issues. I don't want to be left on the shore wondering what it could have been like. I want to see the wonders of God in this life. Whatever life I have left, I don't know. I want to see it. I want to have the testimony when I get to heaven. You ever think about this? I think about it all the time. We as a people in this generation, we're going to get to heaven. Who are you going to run to for? Obviously, Jesus. All of us are going to run to Jesus. We're just going to say it. We're going to run to Jesus. But then in eternity, we're going to be doing life in heaven. But who are you going to turn to then? The pillars of the faith, right? You're going to go to Abraham, ask him what it was like. You're going to go to Moses. You're going to go to Peter and Paul and James and the disciples. You're going to go to all of them. You're going to begin to talk with them. What was it like? Tell me, what was it like? We the glory of God, the faith that it took for you to walk in this walk, to live this life that you lived. I read about it. It encouraged me. It emboldened me. But do you know what? As we run to them to ask them their testimony, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be running to us. Tell me what it was like to have lived in your time. The faith that it must have taken in order for you to get here now. What was it like to not have seen Christ crucified and believe anyway? What was it like to live life just trusting God? Tell me what it was like. They're going to be infatuated with our story. Let me tell you what it was like living for God, trusting God. It was difficult. It was hard, but it was worth it. He brought me safely home to these shores. Folks, that's my prayer this morning. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left on the shore. I don't want to get out into the working of God and throw my anchors out, try to control the situation. I want God to be God, and I want everything he has for me. Folks, he's drawn us here in this moment, for these purposes. What are we going to do with it? Do you even want it? It's okay. I want to say this. It's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. There's no judgment for me if you don't. It's hard to have faith in God. It's difficult. But if you do, it's here. And even if you don't right now, maybe you will one day. And it'll still be there, ready for you. It'll still be there. God doesn't care. Can we stand all over the building? I want to offer an opportunity this morning in the altars for any heart. Maybe you feel stagnant in the Lord. You go, man, I remember being on fire for Jesus. I remember my heart being troubled to do the will and the work of God. But somehow I've lost it. Somehow my heart's got hardened, seared, whatever. And you just say, Lord, I want a fresh move in my life. I want a fresh drawing in my life. I want to be drawn into whatever you have. Do that work in me, God. I long to see the wonders of the deep. I want to see that. I want to know what you have for me. I want to be used by you, God, in whatever capacity. And I want to open up these altars. I'm going to come down. I want to pray with you. And that's for all of us. Maybe you're on the shore this morning. You're going, I've watched and I've listened, but now I want to participate. Maybe that's you this morning. I would love you to come down and let's pray with you. Maybe you're in the midst of the sea and there's part of you that says, I want to throw my anchors over as it's getting a little out of control. I'm fearful that maybe God doesn't have my best interest in mind because I'm so troubled in this moment. Maybe you need faith today to cut those lines and say, God, I may not be comfortable, I may not be confident, but I trust you. I'd like to offer those to come and pray this morning. If it's in your heart to do so, I'll meet you down here. Amen.